Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and chapter 9, Revelation chapter 9. In Revelation 8, we, as it were, wound back the camera to the beginning again of the sevens. And this time, we view them as seven trumpets. Seven warnings from God, declarations of judgment to come. Revelation 8, we have the first four trumpets. These are what we might call natural disasters. These are things that happen in the natural world, like this present coronavirus, like earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes. All of these are things that in the natural realm that warn people of the judgment to come. The seven trumpets are in a sequence really of four plus two plus one. And in Revelation 9 we have the two. So that is trumpets 5 and 6. So Revelation 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels, who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulphur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came smoke, fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these plagues a third of mankind was killed, by the fire, and the smoke, and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. And may God bless the reading of his solemn word. Here we have the two out of the seven woes. And as the first four sorry, the seven trumpets, the three woes of the last three trumpets. And out of these seven, these two are set apart and they are together. And in some respects, they agree with and they correspond to the fifth and sixth seals. The fifth seal was opened in Revelation 6, verse 9, and it led to the calling out of the suffering church, of the souls of the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs that cries for vengeance. How long, O Lord, holy and true? And then, of course, the sixth seal is the pouring out of God's wrath. It's the imminent end of the age. Now, these two trumpets are put together because they are both supernatural. You read the description of the locusts, and they are like no locusts that ever were or will be on the earth. The description of the 200 million horsemen, this cavalry, and they're like no horsemen who ever were on earth. I mean, it's the sort of scene, these 200 million horsemen, that reads like something out of the film version of Lord of the Rings. These are demons mounted on demon horses. These locusts are demon locusts. And they are a graphic emblem of the demonic used by God in judgment against evil men. The demons. Even the demons must do the will of God. And so we have here, first of all, the demon locusts. Now, the imagery of locusts is imagery that would be immediately apparent to everybody. To everybody reading this. It's still something that we hear about. Earlier this year, there was a plague of locusts in the news. And when locusts swarm, and the plague of locusts, they blot out the sky. They're like smoke and they eat up everything. But also here there is a harking back with the locusts to the plagues of Egypt, Exodus and chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees, or on the plants of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt. And while there is a similarity, there is an immediate difference between the locust plague in Exodus and these demonic locusts, because these demonic locusts are like no real locust. The natural locust, they eat plants. A swarm of locusts picks bare a land. But these were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree. These are not literal locusts, these are demons. But they're demons that are described as being like locusts. Once again, the other Old Testament passage that is being drawn upon here is the book of Joel. Joel describes a plague of locusts and uses that and refers to that as the judgment of God. But again, Joel is speaking primarily of literal locusts using poetical imagery. John is speaking of demons using locust imagery. So Joel chapter 1 verse 6, for a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, he has fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown away. Its branches are made white. What is this nation? Well, it becomes apparent in chapter 2 that it is a, Joel chapter 2, it is a plague of locusts. And these locusts come in judgment upon the land. They are like an army. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds, so they run, with a noise like chariots. Over mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. They were fearful things, locusts. They are fearful things, but demons are much worse. And these demons are let loose by a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And who is the star fallen? Because it's quite clear it's a person. It's an angel, an angelic being, but no good angelic being. It is the same angelic being referenced by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Luke 10:18, he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. It is the devil himself who is given that task of opening the bottomless pit, the abyss, the dwelling place of demons. And he unleashes from the bottomless pit these demons. And what is their work as demons? It is to harm men. Locusts don't touch people, because locusts swarm in order to eat. Demons are malicious. Angels they were, but they have, by their sin, lost everything they might have gained. They have lost heaven, and they will have hell. And they will drag every human being they can down to hell with them. The demons are evil. They present themselves to men. Satan is transformed into an angel of light, says the apostle. But they are malevolent and malicious. You see the picture here, that they were not given authority to kill, but to torment. Torment to the point where people would long and cry out for death. The scorpion is a dangerous little thing. Now, I don't know how lethal scorpions can be, but on the whole, scorpions don't kill, unless you have a bad reaction to the venom. But a sting from a scorpion, I am reliably informed, can be absolutely agonizing. And so, these are pictured as being a combination of locust and scorpion. And they're like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. Demons fell by ambition. They fell by desire to be what they were not. And here they are wearing not golden crowns, but crowns of something that looks like gold but isn't. They take to themselves claims of power and authority, and they exercise the power they have to torment men and women. They have teeth like lion's teeth. The lion was the strongest of beasts, the king of beasts. The lion's teeth rend flesh and crush bone. Your enemy, the devil, the Apostle Peter says, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here again is viciousness destructiveness. And they had a king. And this again is the angel of the bottomless pit. This is the devil himself. And he, his name, well, he has many names. Satan, the accuser of the brethren. But here his name is Abaddon, the destroyer. Apollyon in Greek. He is the one who destroys. The devil destroys. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he destroys those who fall into his clutches. But you will notice there is a limit to whom the demons can harm. Only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Only them. And we see, of course, those who are sealed, Revelation 7 and verse 3, that the voice comes saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, so we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And we saw when we looked at Revelation chapter 7 that those who are sealed are the church militant here in the earth. They are the church on earth, the church fighting. The seal of God stands sure. The Lord knows those who are his. So the demons can afflict everybody who is not a Christian. Now what then does this plague of demonic locusts mean? What does it mean? It is a picture of the activity of demons in the world in the period between Christ's ascension and his coming again. These demons, they are a multitude, but their activities are limited by God. They're not allowed to kill anybody. The torment that they give is 5 months only. They are limited. Now, when it comes to demons, there are 2 great mistakes that people make, at least in our Western culture. One of them is that we are so afflicted, and I use the word advisedly, so afflicted by the so-called enlightenment of the 18th century that we don't believe in demons. We act as if there were no such things as demons. We act as if there were no such thing as angels. We act contrary to our confession, because the scripture, and we confess that we believe the scripture is full of angels. The scripture speaks of demons, that there are both good and evil spirits at work in the world. And demons do many things. There are those who work through mediums, who imitate the dead. There are such things as doctrines of demons, says the apostle. There are those who deceive individuals into thinking that they're getting messages from God, when in fact the messages are coming, yes, from a supernatural source, but an evil supernatural source. There are demons who afflict people. There is such a thing as demon possession. You occasionally meet people in the marketplace and you think, something about this person that is goes beyond normal malice against the gospel. People whose behaviour is shocking. And some of it may be drug related, but I wouldn't say for certain, but there are some people I've seen when I've been in the marketplace, open air preaching, whose reaction, now you mention the name of Jesus and they suddenly become filled with rage. I think some people I think I have met who may very well have been, and I don't want to be dramatic on this point, but I think I have met people who are demonically possessed out there. But the demons afflict people. You see the suffering that they bring. And there are many things involving demons in this world. The occult, false religions. People who get into to contract with spirits. And there are demons at work in many things. Demons work in this present fallen world. But their power is limited. They are limited in what they're allowed to do. Why? Because God limits them. It was given. They were given. They were not given. God is in control. The demons hate that fact. The demons hate the fact that God is in control, that God has them, as it were, upon a leash, and they must do what he would have them do. And he says to them, "Hitherto you shall go and no further," and they can go no further, much as they would deeply desire to do that. So demons at work in the present world. Second, then, we come to the sixth trumpet. But before that, actually, I'll just say why the demons at work in the world are a trumpet. Because again, the fact that this spiritual evil is working in the world is a warning that God will judge men and demons. That God is over all. God lets the demons do this, that men may know the evil of the demons. But then we come to the sixth trumpet. And just as the sixth seal is different from all the other seals, the sixth seal ushers in the end of the age. Revelation 6 and verse 12. "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the cave and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" And just as that is the ushering in of the end, so the sixth trumpet ushers in the end. Something has been waiting, and four angels are unleashed at the river Euphrates. And they had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year. There's a date here. Hour, day, month, year is emphasizing this is not something that happens throughout the period before Christ's second coming. This is something that happens at a specific time known only to God, that God has appointed, when the demonic horsemen, the demonic cavalry, the cavalry of hell, we might say, shall be unleashed upon the earth. And again, there never was an army that looked like this. There never will be. As I said before, it's an army. It sounds like something out of a fantasy film. And the number, 200 million. You can't imagine that. John had to be told that was the number. There can be no army that size on earth of men that are demons. And the horses, these are monsters. They've got heads like lions that are belching fire, smoke and brimstone. And that's what they kill people with. Because here, the gloves are off. The demons that were locusts are now demon horsemen. And the men on them have these breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulphur yellow. And these, they don't need any weapons. They've got no swords, they've got no spears. The horses themselves are the weapons. Because the horse and the horsemen are one, they're all demons. And these demons unleash these plagues, not in the sense of a disease like this coronavirus. This is a natural disease. No, these are supernatural judgments. And by them a third of mankind was killed. A third. We've seen that in the first four of the trumpets. And in this sixth trumpet, again we see a third, not this time, a third of the sea, nor a third of the plants, nor a third of the waters on the earth, nor a third of the day, but a third of mankind. Billions. There are billions of men, and a third of mankind are wiped out. And here again, this is the run-up to the end of the age. So this is still a trumpet. This demonic judgment that falls on the earth is a trumpet saying, wake up, repent, or you shall all likewise perish. I cannot tell you the day or the hour of this judgment, but it will come in a day and an hour. Revelation is too clear on that for anyone to say this is merely a picture of some force that is at work throughout history. There are such pictures in Revelation. But here we have the end of the ages right around the corner. And just as in Revelation 6 you have the sixth seal, and you have these awful judgments that fall with the sixth seal, and here we have these awful things are seen to include this demonic attack, this demonic army that ravages the world. Because the other thing, one of the reasons why they're picked as cavalry here, is that cavalry are fast. Cavalry are mighty. In fact, the language here is very much picked up from the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk speaks of a natural invasion using similar language here. Habakkuk chapter 1 from verse 6. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. It's savage language. But here, in Revelation, that language about the cavalry is doubled and tripled, because this is demon cavalry. They've got power and might to kill in the mouth and the tail. And what's the result? On the two-thirds of mankind, they don't wipe out. It's an awful and a solemn thing to read. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent. Again, Revelation 6, what are the wicked saying there? They're saying, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They're not going to the Lamb and saying, we repent, we're sorry for what we have done. They're not fleeing to the only refuge from the wrath to come. They're fleeing to that which is no refuge, for there is no hiding place from the wrath of the Lamb. And here they did not repent. The trumpets have sounded, trumpets 1 through 6 have sounded. The warning has reached that point, and they did not repent. There is the condemnation. Had they repented of their sins, then they would have been saved from their sins. But they did not repent. Why didn't they repent? Because they didn't want to. Because they did not want to. They did not repent of the works of their hands, the things that they had done. The idols, the worship of demons, the murders or sorceries or sexual immoralities. All the things that men do that offend God, and the whole point of the trumpets is that message: unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And they did not repent. When Christ comes again in judgment, he will not come to anyone who has not been given the opportunity to repent. He will come to a sinful world, a world where the judgment is a world ripe for judgment, a world condemned by its own sinfulness. The trumpets blow, repent, repent, they say. The sixth trumpet, the great judgment that falls on mankind before, we don't know how long before, but very shortly before Christ's return. And the response is they did not repent. And here is the great warning: unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. All mankind in that day, all but those who have been sealed in their foreheads by God, that is all but the church. Out of the mass of sinful humanity, when the demon horsemen, whatever they shall be, I mean, we're not to take the idea that there will be literal demon horsemen looking like this, but that they represent a fearful, open and terrible demonic judgment that's brought upon the earth, that God sends upon the earth. And in the face of this last trumpet before the end, they did not repent. It's a fearful thing to read. And it leads us to marvel at the justice of God's holy wrath. Now, as we look at the demonic, I suspect I did an Apostle Paul earlier. I started talking about the things that the two mistakes that people make. I only mentioned the first mistake. Paul does this occasionally, so I'm in good company. But the two mistakes people make, first of all, is we don't believe in demons, but we should. The other is to obsess over demons. There are some people who think demons are everywhere. When I was at seminary, a friend of mine was preaching at a church, and he was staying with a couple there, and he was married, and he and his wife had a young son who was afraid of the dark, as many little boys are. And their hosts were deeply worried by this. They said, he has a spirit of fear. No, he doesn't. He's a child afraid of the dark, the obvious response. Demons are not responsible for everything. Diseases are mostly caused by germs and viruses. Illnesses are mostly natural. Earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, these are all part of the natural world, but there is a supernatural world. We should not be terrified of demons as Christians, because who are the ones that the demons aren't allowed to harm? Those who have the seal of God on their foreheads. If you're a Christian, the demons cannot touch you. They're not allowed to. Man doesn't see the seal, but the demons do. And the demons, they can buffet you, but they can't torment you. They can't touch you. They can whisper in your ears, but they cannot go beyond what God has said. And he has said, they are not to touch, they are not to harm those who have the seal of God on their foreheads. For a Christian tonight, you are safe from demons, because God has told the demons they cannot. They want to, but they can't. Because the power of God is greater than the power of Satan. The work of demons in the world is a warning to man to repent. And so again this evening, the word goes forth: repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen.